It felt extremely vulnerable and very risky, really. I mean, like, I put a lot of money, time, effort, energy, juju, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And maybe only, you know, 20 people did show up. And at that moment, I had already said, if I have all these people RSVP and only 20 people come, am I going to sit there and sulk? Or am I going to enjoy the party that I planned?
Mm-hmm.
Hola, everybody. This is Lucilania.
Hey, what's up? This is Steph coming at you live.
And this is Sex and Sensuality for the Churchy podcast. Yeah. They should be the salt of the earth. All right, so are you.
All right. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us once again for another session. Today, I'm really excited to talk about the party of the year. Okay.
It's only January, though.
It don't matter.
Well, actually, when this airs, it'll be February, but y'all get
still, it was the party of the year. I don't care what any other party I go to. It was the party of the year. We had the wonderful opportunity to celebrate Selenia's birthday, and it was just more than a celebration. I mean, the ambiance, the people, the vibe, the music, the dresses, and what I really enjoyed about it was the fact of how everything related in some way back to you and your brand, even though I know that it was a night that was partly planned and partly spontaneous. But I was thinking to myself, like, wow, like, if you want to talk about sex and sexuality for the churchy, you had to be there, okay? Like, that was a clear demonstration of how all three come together and actually work, right? It's one thing to talk about it and, you know, think about these ideas, but it's another to actually see it. So kudos to everybody who came out. Kudos to the lady. So today I wanted to talk about how all of that came together and just even how you feel about the whole thing after the fact. And yeah, so we'll start from there. So how are you feeling?
Okay, so just for context for the people that are watching and who didn't come to the party or couldn't come to the party or whatever, we are recording this like literally 2 days after the party, but you'll be hearing this / watching this if you're watching on YouTube like a week and a half. Mm-hmm. My birthday is, as of this recording day, on Tuesday, so 2 days from today. I'll be 40, and several months ago, I decided after my my second mom, the one who did not birth me, but my mom told me, was like, well, we want to celebrate you too, because I had really just planned on like trying to plan as many trips this year and to get out of the good old United States of America. And I do have at least one international trip planned so far. But when she said that to me, it got me thinking about, well, what could I do now? Normally, like, I've had two adult parties in my life up until now. And I remember, because trauma fucks your memory. I've had two birthdays as a child, two birthday parties as a child. And anytime I would try to do something for me, even I did one for my 25th and one for my 30th, I would have so much anxiety, which is why I was like, I'm turning 40. I know it's a big deal, but mm-hmm. I'm just going to travel. I could do that. I could do that by myself. If nobody wants to come, I will be just fine going out of the country solo. I've done it before. I will do it again. No problem. Mm-hmm. So when she was like, well, we want to celebrate you too. Of course, she's talking about herself, but like,
mm-hmm.
she was very confident in saying we, like, she knew she wasn't the only one. And so I sat down and I thought about it, and I was like, well, you know what? 2023 marks several very important things for me, and not just 40.
Mm-hmm.
I left my abusive relationship 5 years ago this month. 4 years ago this month, I moved to Baltimore City. I started the Radiant Sessions in January. I started this podcast a couple years ago in January. And I also started being like a local influencer using the brand Charm City Live Music, also in January, but of last year. And then also, as you all know, like, you know, as like I ended my relationship, my abusive relationship in January, I also ended my relationship with the church I was a member of, for, you know, so new beginnings, endings, like January, as an adult, I've always treated January as like my personal new year, kind of leading out of December and everybody celebrating, you know, the changing of the year. But I start my year on my birthday. And, you know, I make a ritual out of it, and I do, you know, I write and all of those things. And so when I thought about it that way, I was like, you know, I do have a lot to celebrate, and I can use it as a business event to, you know, kind of establish myself a little more with Charm City Live Music, as I'm still figuring out what I want that brand to look like and what it's going to offer. Mm-hmm. And so thankfully, because of my connections with the music community here in Baltimore, I knew automatically who I wanted to perform. And so I asked my frat brother, my friend, Mark Avon Evans, one of our founders, who has a band, to you know, get a band together and perform, because music is a love for me. It's also a love language. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of creating a sensual experience. So if you're new here, sensuality for me is more than just for sex.
Yes.
It's amazing when it comes to sex, but I approach life sensually, because I truly believe, and you know, these people are now all testaments of it, that the joy of the journey can be found in really experiencing life in as many of our senses as possible. Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted to bring as many sensual elements into this party as I could. And so we start first with our hearing. And I told them, I want 90s vibe. I want, you know, I want people to get up and move and dance, which now we're moving into the body, the feeling, the movement of sensuality. Mm-hmm. And so once I had that, I was like, okay. And then it was on the hunt for the venue, because again, the space, the vibe, the energy, the colors, all of that, you know, was going to make a big difference. So there was another venue that I was thinking about, but they don't really know me like that. I haven't really established myself that much in the city, which is absolutely fine. I'm still very new. So the conversation kind of halted. And again, with sensuality, like, it's also really being in tune with myself and my body and being able to flow intuitively. So although I reached out to them, once the conversation kind of went to a halt, I knew intuitively that was a sign. And I could have tried to force it. I could have, like, you know, been calling them and emailing them and just like, this is it. But I knew, and if it would have been right, I felt like there would have been a flow and an ease to it. Now, sometimes things are going to be hard, so I'm not saying to bypass anything that's difficult. But when you start to really be in tune with yourself and your journey, you'll be able to sense those moments a lot easier, whether you need to lean into the difficulty or whether or not you realize, I'm trying to force something. Because something being difficult and you trying to force it are not necessarily the same things.
They're not at all.
And so I'm always going out. Most of the time I'm going out to a live event to see a band play. That's just what I truly enjoy doing, whether I did Charm City Live Music or not. By the way, follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Charm City Live Music. and even if you're not in Baltimore, there are plenty of times that I'll post things where they also do virtual shows. So if you're not in Baltimore and you want to support and you want to hear Baltimore musicians, because they are amazing, I definitely let you know when those shows are virtual. But I digress. So I went to a jam session one Thursday night, and I walked in, and literally, like, when the doors closed and I walk in, I felt like I was in a different world. And I was like, this is where I want to have my party.
Yep.
It had the exact vibe that I wanted. It was, you know, spacious enough that we wouldn't necessarily be on top of each other, but not too big. And it just felt sexy.
It was sexy. But it was intimate. Like,
but also not so sexy that it was like
a distraction.
Right. Like, it felt comfortable, but sexy. Mm-hmm. And fun, and the way that the owner has it decorated, like, I looked around, like, I wouldn't need to do anything. I wouldn't have to, like, try to make it something. I didn't have to create the vibe or create it by decorating or adding anything to it, which also was a huge expense that I didn't have to worry about, because literally the way he has it, it was just fine the way it was.
Shout out to the owner.
Shout out to Bo at Orion at Fillmore in Baltimore. That's my man for
like
you gotta Batman go. Another game.
Gotta
like,
go, gotta go. That gotta is go.
My man. He took such good care of me and my guests. Like, if you are in Baltimore and you're looking for a venue, I wholeheartedly recommend Orion mm-hmm. F. Fillmore off of Lock Raven. Talk to Bo. Tell him that I sent you. I know there are people that went to my party that's like, I want to have a party here. And I absolutely wholeheartedly recommend it. They took such good care of us. So at that point, once I had that, I was like, all right, I got the music and I got the venue. Mm-hmm. Those are usually two of the biggest expenses. And I was like, I'm really having a party.
Yeah.
I'm really having a party. And so then it was, you know, Canva makes you feel like a graphic designer. So I'm like, even with that, like, okay, well, what image do I want to put on here? Because I want to start to communicate what I want my guests to feel, what I want my guests to experience. Mm-hmm. I didn't want them to just attend something and be like, oh, I'm here because I love her. It's her birthday. I wanted them to leave that party having had an experience.
And we all did.
And so with everything, with every step that I took, with everything that I decided to do, because I am not an event planner at all. Now, in my sorority, I would assist, you know, as a team, as a chapter, we would plan events, mm-hmm. Both in undergrad and alumni. You know, I have production experience because I spent, you know, almost 12 years at BET Networks and working on shows like BET Honors and BET Awards and Hip Hop Awards and all of those things. Shout out to my BET fam. I have ADHD. So when you lock in on something, if you don't know anything about ADHD, like we have this thing in our brain that just makes us focus so in on something that we become really, really good at it. And so this was something that was giving me a lot of dopamine to do, because as much as my comments sparked this thing, once I'm locked in, I'm in it.
And
so I didn't outsource it. I could have. I know there were people, they were my friends and people that love me. It's like, oh, if you need any help, I was like, I'll let you know. But things just started flowing like really, really easy. And so, you know, I'm in ADHD in another life. I was also a baker. So I decorated my own cake. and then like even just, you know, like what I wore, like two of the outfits, I wore three outfits.
Yes you did.
Three outfits, I, you know, dramatic. But two of those outfits I've had for like 4 years, I've never worn them. And they gave me just the right amount of sexy romance, mm-hmm. you know, even down to the fabrics, like it was like satin and silky. And they flowed and they moved. And so, and I know like you can probably be sitting here like, okay, whatever. But honestly, like if you don't want to live this way, that is absolutely fine. It's just, it has brought so much richness to my life. And so with all that intention, literally every step of the way, I am infusing my own juju, my own magic in every little thing that I was mm-hmm. doing. Because, you know, if you grow for the churchy, what does the Bible say? Like we had the power of life and death are in our tongue. Mm-hmm. We were created to rule this earth with the same level of power that Jesus God has. So I know, you know, as much as churchy folk will love to talk mad shit about the fact that, oh, how are you Christian and you have crystals and you use sage and you do this and you do that. And I was like, for the same way that you're Christian and you do a ritual every first Sunday of eating a wafer and drinking grape juice to symbolize eating of his body and drinking his blood.
How about that?
The same way that you can go to certain conferences or conventions and they're doing ordinations and the bishop has, you know, crystals on his chain and there's, you know, there's rituals there, mm-hmm. and incense was used in the Bible and there's astrology in the Bible, if you know what you're, and there's divination in the Bible. All of these things, those mystical things actually are, not only do they exist, but they existed and are older than the Bible itself in the creation of Christianity.
Listen, I'll send you your PhD real soon, okay?
And so, you know, for me, it was like, if you don't like it, understand it, or scared of it, by all means, I'm not telling you to do it. But for me, those are tools, just like, again, communion is a tool. Just like, is there power in the oil that you use to anoint? Or is that a symbol and you are infusing your power into the oil that you're using to anoint somebody's head? And so growing up, of course, like in my immaturity, I would think that, oh, there was power in that. And now that I've evolved and ascended past that childish way of thinking about my spirituality, I know that if I don't use a crystal, I don't have to because I'm the juju.
Yes, you are. You are definitely a juju.
But there is also a power of having these symbolic things. And there are elements to these creations that God has made in the earth, just like herbs, just like plants that we eat. Like, somebody had to decide that a pepper was something that was edible. They could have looked at it and be like, you're eating that?
Mm-hmm. I can't believe you.
And so, how, like, throughout time and history, how have we decided that certain things are good for us to use and have value, and these other things, oh, those are demonic. They're all created by the same God. But this is demonic, and mm-hmm. this is good and holy and acceptable. And if you use these things, then you're a witch. And if you don't and you use these things, then that means you're Christian. I personally choose to subject everything to the Creator, to the source of all, to the Most High. And there are times where I'm directed to not use things and to stand in my own power as me. And so it was me using that as I'm planning this, and things just kind of falling into place. And, you know, at times, like, I was like, oh, I should have favors, and I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that. And I was like, mm-hmm. gonna make, you know, I was gonna make rum punch and everybody's gonna get a little bottle and this and the other. And I'm looking and I'm like, and everything in me was like, why are you forcing it?
Mm-hmm.
You're doing too much.
Yeah.
And so I stopped. And I, at the moment that I was like, okay, peace, complete peace. And so, you know, just, and even to the day, like, the, one of the biggest things of, that I experienced anxiety, I would experience anxiety about, especially about planning stuff like this, was the fact that I'm like, okay, I'm going to put up all this money, because not only did I plan it, I paid for it
mm-hmm.
myself. And are people going to show up? Because I have a lot of experience in my life with people saying they love me, people mm-hmm. saying they're going to come, and them not showing up for me.
That's always the hard part of planning something. Because you always have good intentions of from what people say, but if you've experienced it enough, you know that intentions don't bring people to the event. Like, it's not enough. You need more than that. So,
mm-hmm. And so I started speaking. I started speaking that the people who were supposed to be there would be there.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm inviting the public, because this is a business event. So not mm-hmm. everybody there did I know or have, you know, I have various relationships, whether I've met them just at an event out here in Baltimore or like you mm-hmm. who I've known at this point for almost 20 years.
Yes.
You know, so it was a wide range of people. And again, every time, like, people are asking me questions, I'm like, the people that are supposed to be there are mm-hmm. going to be there. And that's not even to say like that I meant it in a way that, oh, if you're not going to be there, it means you're bad. It really could mean that maybe if you would have tried to force it, maybe something would have happened on the way. It was a prayer of not just protection for me in my event, but a prayer and a declaration of protection for the people who wanted to come. And that nothing, no harm would come to them. And if they were to come and it would have been harmful to them in some way, shape, or form, you know, like yeah. all these, as the Bible says, like, you know, it's like all these things unawares and the angels seen and unseen. And there are things that we can be grateful for that we may never know what we're actually being grateful for because we were protected from it.
Mm-hmm.
But also setting the intention that those people that were supposed to be there were going to be people who were going to be in alignment and not bring like bad energy, not bring, you know, and to be able to come and to be ministered to that. Although this is not being promoted because it wasn't a Christian yeah, event,
not at all.
That the way that I live my life to minister to them and to bring them a sensual experience to me is ministry.
It showed, especially the last part.
And so, you know, as it got closer, you know, people was like, oh my God, you're just so calm. And, you know, throughout this process, I've been really intentional about healing my anxiety and getting to the root of it. And a lot of it was the abandonment and being scared of being abandoned. And because of that, not, you know, really internalizing that I was being abandoned because I wasn't showing up right. I wasn't saying the right thing. I wasn't doing the right thing. And so learning mm-hmm. to trust my intuition, my body is always giving me, you know, my emotional body is always sending me signals and always guiding me, directing me, stopping me, you know, hey, alert, 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 mm-hmm. pay attention to this, and learning how to use that system to navigate my life. And so I'm starting to now speak to that thing and tell myself and put it out in the atmosphere that I don't have to be anxious, because I am, if something happens and something goes wrong, I can trust that I have the ability to handle it when it comes, as opposed to taking myself through it in advance, thinking that I'm actually going to prevent something from happening. Because when you really think about it, are we really?
No,
most times we're not.
Mm-mm. But we try to, I'm not gonna say fool ourselves, but we try to think that by coming up with all the different things that could happen and plan for it, that we're somehow creating a sense of security and, mm-hmm. and even certainty. And it's better to actually just know that if it comes my way, I can handle it. And it removes all that stress of trying to do more than you need to, because you actually believe in those words.
Mm-hmm.
So I completely agree with you. That's actually a changing, something that changed for me, was just realizing that I may have experienced a lot of things in life that were out of my control, but that was okay, because they were out of my control. There was nothing I could do, but I realized that I was able to work through them. So
Right. I mean, because we have so many receipts. It's like, mm-hmm. yo, I would take myself through all this shit and be anxious, and yet I'm still here. Like I managed to get through it, and I didn't really need the anxiety. Now, a lot of times what happened is you have all this anxiety, like, oh, something bad's gonna happen. And when it does happen, you're like, see, I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
But you tend to forget all the times that you were anxious for no reason. And it wasn't bad. You use that confirmation bias,
mm-hmm.
because if you're always anxious, of course you're going to be right sometimes.
Yeah, it's a numbers game.
Right. Like just the law of averages. Like at some point, and probably a lot of the times, you're going to be right. But it's not about, it's realizing it's not that I even need to be right. It's that I'm choosing to traumatize myself. And then when you understand, like, that anxiety, that fear that we're experiencing, like, that was given to us to protect us from life or death. But all of these things that I'm being anxious for, my life is not in danger. And my body, mm-hmm. but my body doesn't know that. I have to tell myself that I'm not in imminent danger at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that is also understanding, because, like, I had this conversation with the owner when I did the walkthrough, is like, if you really think about it, doesn't anxiety feel very similar to excitement?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But what's the difference? The story we tell.
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, are you nervous? I was like, no, I'm excited. And he's like, I was like, I know it can feel the same. Like, in mm-hmm. your body, it feels the same. But I could and would have leaned towards anxiety a long time ago. And now I'm like, oh, no, I'm excited. And that changes your perspective. But also, again, because I'm the magic, because I am claiming and I'm setting that intention, mm-hmm. that also means that in every step that I'm taking as it got closer to the show, as it got closer to the event, I'm not speaking anxiety over my event or the people that are coming. I'm speaking excitement, anticipation, like, yes, everybody. Mm-hmm. And so...
Because there was definitely a buildup. There was definitely a buildup to, like, that day. I mean, even for me, it was like, yo...
And even with that, like, you know, it's like... I'm setting up reminders, and, you know, and I'm doing that intentionally to literally mm-hmm. build in that excitement. Like, this is what to expect. Like, this is where it is going to be, you know, here's the address. Oh, by the way, there's street parking, you know, we're doing a toast. We're doing, you know, there's going to be cake, you know, but make sure I'm clarifying the attire, you mm-hmm. know, I want you to come looking good, but come ready to dance, you know, and really just starting to build and to set that anticipation. So people knew, and they could also be in alignment with what the intention was for the show.
Yeah.
And then I'm like telling them, like, oh, there's gonna be a surprise performance, there's gonna be a surprise, you know. And doesn't like, most people like surprises. They're like, oh, you know. And so we get there. Well, not even like, oh, let me back up, because that morning, like, I go to the gym. I'm always at the gym on Friday morning. So I kept my same routine. I worked really, really hard that day too. He like put me through. And, you know, I'm running my errands. I get home. My makeup artist is coming at 6. The show is at 8. And the power goes out on my street at 4 or something. And it's winter time, so the sun's going to be setting really soon.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could do was laugh. And in that moment, I'm just like, I laugh and literally he's like, oh, tonight's going to be great. Because at that point, nothing, no, there had been no hiccups. Everything had been really, really smooth. Mm-hmm. And so when you know that you're in divine alignment, like a lot of times there's going to be tests. There's going to be things that come to try to distract you. And it just, again, I just knew, I was like, if something bad happens, I'll be able to handle it. So I'm like, all right, well, I could have been anxious about something like that happening, would mm-hmm. have changed the outcome. I didn't have, it wasn't that I didn't pay the bill. Literally, the lights on all the whole street are out. So at that point, it's like, all right, I'm going to wait a little bit and see if they come back on. Then one of my sorority sisters that also lives in the city was like, she's, you know, I posted it on Facebook and was like, yo, tonight's going to be great. And I just literally, that was it. I could have been like, oh man, here's mm-hmm. a sign that everything, that this mm-hmm. is the first of the snowball, is going to be terrible. Mm-hmm. And I would have been looking for that. And so she's like, hey, if you need to come over here to finish getting ready, you know, I'm up the street. We still have our power. And I'm like, all right, well, my makeup artist is coming at 6. If the lights don't come back on by like 5:15, 5:30, mm-hmm. then I'll let you know. So that way I can give her the address and she can reroute to where you are. Literally, as I'm sending that, and she's like, oh, okay, cool. The lights flicker and come back on. And I just laugh. Because I'm like, okay, yeah, this was like my last little test to see if I really had the faith and the trust in myself and you in this day that everything is going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And literally, my makeup artist come and had no idea. Like, I told her, but she, you know, everything is fine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she beats my face to all heavens. And, but now, you know, we're now running a little bit behind and the place is only 15 minutes away from me. I wanted to be there around 7 because I really wanted to get there. And I was like, I'm going to sage the place and Palo Santo and, you know, pray and meditate and just speak over the atmosphere. And said, I'm going to get there and blah, blah, blah. Literally, I showed up at 8:03 and the doors open at 8 and there's already people inside.
Yes, there was.
And there started to be like a moment. It's like, oh, I really want to be. And I was like, what can I do? I can let that take me off track, but it's already 8:00. You know, people are coming in, Steph is coming in. I'm like, yep, I need help. Come, you know, like, take this here, take this there. You know, my photographer, my brother Harry was like, you need some help? Yep, I need you to come grab this. And, you know, I'm like, hey, where can I put this stuff? Because, you know, I got my outfit changes. So I got to put that mm-hmm. somewhere. And band was already there. Band is all set up. And people start showing up around 8:30. Everything is a go. And we get started. And
you would never been able to tell. You would have never known. Like, even like when I saw you outside and, you know, we're going in and you know, you need help with this. There was never a feeling that of like chaos or craziness. It was just chill. Like,
so so my ADHD people probably will, some of y'all will probably get this because I've also understood, you know, and the people will say like, oh, ADHD, you know, has its challenges, but it's a superpower too. Because in moment, which is also why I know, like, I don't have to be anxious because I can look back and realize I get dopamine in those situations and I thrive in those situations. Like, that's like me being at BET, like doing live TV, everything and like stuff. And I was always that person. And they would look at me crazy. And I'm like, look, you want me to be this way. Because if I'm not, then I can't be as good at my job as I am. Mm-hmm. And now understanding, like, it's really just how my brain works. That dopamine is there, and it just kind of, as much as I can, it building up. If I would have let it, it would have activated my nervous system. But I don't have to let it because when the rubber hits the road, I'm so cool. Mm-hmm. And it's just like my brain is like, yep, just do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, and boom, we're getting started like 8:33. And at that point, maybe 20-30% of people were there. Like, nobody wants to sit in the front. Everybody's like taking the sides and taking the back. Mm-hmm. And again, I could have been like, oh, let's just wait. More people come. This and the other. And it's, and I get it. Like, it's not to talk shit about people with anxiety because I've struggled with anxiety before I even had a name for it. It's a very vulnerable place. Because at that point, everything that I've done to plan, prepare, get everything together, it all is coming to this moment. And I had almost 90 people RSVP for 100 people, 100 person maximum. And now nothing is it's all out of my control.
Yeah.
And it felt extremely vulnerable and very risky, really. I mean, like, I put a lot of money, time, effort, energy, juju, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And maybe only, you know, 20 people did show up. And at that moment, I had already said, if I have all these people RSVP and only 20 people come. Am I going to sit there and sulk? Or am I going to enjoy the party that I planned? If they just sit there and don't dance, although I've set the intention that this is going to be a good time, we're going to be all doing this, am I going to sit there and be like, oh, well, they're not dancing, so I'm not dancing, I'm just going to sit here? No. I was like, if I'm the only person that enjoys my party, then I'll be the only person that enjoys my party.
I mean, you definitely set the tone. I mean, you definitely set the tone, and I think that it made everybody else kind of like lead into it. And, you know, the entire time that I'm looking at you like, yo, she's having a great time. Like,
I really was. But again, as you were saying early in the beginning of the show, like, you realize like, oh, this was really a representation of you and your brand. And so I heal by example. So in that moment, it was like, I'm going to enjoy my party, but I'm going to enjoy my party that I'm going to lead by example. If I'm telling them I want them to do that, if I wait for them to do it to now feel comfortable, then I wouldn't be authentic to who I am and what I believe. And I wanted this to be a safe place. And and understanding that creating safety for people, a big part of that is being authentic, because then they don't have to guess. Unless there's something wrong with them, but I had already set the intention that those people wouldn't be there. So I'm not even worried about that. But I know that some people want to be free, but kind of need permission to be. And so if I'm leading and healing by example, I'm going to one, show them I don't need permission, neither do you. But if you feel like you need it, then I'm going to give it to you by showing you.
I mean, it was a certain point where, like, in the beginning, it was just you, and then everyone, you know, some people came in, and then after the song started hitting, like, it was just like everybody started erupting in their own little way. It was like, oh, this is great.
I mean, you can't go wrong with 90s, and they Mark Avon Evans and Corinne Dominique and Maya Nicole, they're brothers and sisters, so you get that they know each other, they know their voices, they have that love, but they're all extremely talented. And the way that they even, you know, chose the songs in the order that they did, like, it was also like a slow buildup. And they know me. Yeah. I've performed at Mark's, you know, his open mics, and I featured at his open mics, and, you know, and we have relationships. So it's like I gave them that direction, and they literally just took it and ran with it. And so, you know, it's like, you know, they know how to put on a show. They know how to pick the right songs that's going to hit the right chord with someone. And you get that, oh my God, that's my shit.
You know, everybody's all going
to hit that chord to Chaka Khan. It's like, yes. And you just, you know, you hit that Jill Scott, and it's like, yeah, you know, and that go-go beat. It's like,
oh, the go-go. I love the go-go beat.
And,
go-go.
You know, it was just dope. And to then also be able to use that platform to honor three of Baltimore's musicians, and Clarence Ward III, and Kiana, and make Mark Avon Evans and the Big Little Band for hosting the longest running open mic in Baltimore City. They're starting their 15th year. And to do that, and then to be blessed, because I wanted them to come and enjoy and be honored. And obviously Mark and his band were the featured talent that night, but to get the gift that Kiana comes and sings Jill Scott, and it brings her friend Janae, who is amazing. And then Clarence pulls out his trumpet, because of course he doesn't travel without his instrument. And he starts going, and I'm sitting there like, I didn't even ask for this, but they're giving me a gift right now, and giving us a gift. And it was just such a fucking dope moment.
It was.
I'm just like, I was already enjoying myself, but at that moment, it just kind of locked in. Like, I think everybody was like, oh, we in this.
Yeah.
It was like, if you ever had sex with somebody, and y'all, whether it's your first time or your 10th time, but there's a moment where you guys are just so in sync that the movements are together, and, you know, it's like he's kissing you there, and you're looking him there, and touching each other, and you don't necessarily have to tell each other what you want. There's like, you're paying attention to each other's body so well that it's like a beautiful dance. That's how it felt.
Yeah. Nothing felt rehearsed. Nothing felt.
Because it wasn't.
even when Clarence came up with the trumpet, like, that just felt like it was part of the show. Like, it was just like, oh, okay. And the band just came with it as well. The voices. And it was supported, because, you know, these people may have never heard these people sing.
Most of them have never heard any of them.
Right. So, you know, the fact that the the audience was like, hey, you know, really supportive and not like, oh, we don't know who they are. So, you know, whatever. That was a testimony to the people, like you said, the people that needed to be there, the energy that needed to be there. And it just flowed. Like it got to a point where I was like, wait, what time is it? Like,
because it was a four. That was the other thing. Because I'm like, I'm telling people to come out from 8 to 12, like a 4-hour event.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, some people came and they had to leave, and I was so grateful that it's like, yo, you could have been like, I'm not coming because I could only be here for an hour or whatever. But you know, they still come and to show love. Like I felt so much love that night because again, I'm going in. I'm like, all right, I've done everything I can. Now all I can do is enjoy myself and wait. And at some point, like probably like right before the whole Kiana, Janae, and Clarence moment, I look around and the place is full.
It was full.
And you know, people are coming in and they're hugging me and loving on me, and just it was just so genuine. People that either I had just met, people that I had never met, people that I've known forever, people that my family, you know, like my sister came from Chicago, my cousin who just moved up here, you know, on my dad's side like 6 months ago was there, you know, but it was so dope. And then the surprise.
Oh, the surprise.
Because, yes, you know, like, well, I've talked about it before, but I sing. And again, my anxiety was something that also really, really prevented me from really singing and performing. My ex, like, did a number on my confidence. And so, but I refused. So I'm like, I love it so much. I refuse to be, you know, be a bystander watching all these amazingly talented people do this thing and feel like I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I got to sing. And so, you know, I sent them the songs and I had like 5 songs on the list. And that morning, actually the day before, I'm just like, one of the songs, I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that one. And it still just didn't feel like, again, the sensuality, like everything about the song list didn't feel complete. And so as I was rehearsing, I heard a old hymn that a lot of us know. And I just started singing. And I'm in my house singing, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone.
All gone.
Because I know who holds my future. My life is worth the living just because he lives. And I'm singing in my house and I'm crying. Right. And I'm just like, I have to do this because I'm celebrating my life and I'm celebrating not just surviving, not just being alive, because existence is only but so much, but really, really living. And thriving.
Yes.
And so in the middle of us singing 90s R&B, neo soul, and dancing and all of that, I was like, look, my platform are built on, you know, very specific things and who I am. My brand is me, you know, sexuality, sensuality, being authentic. And in that more, you know, all of that informs me and my existence, and that as opposed to what I was taught in church, that there's secular and then there's God. And we have to kill the flesh because that is secular and that's not God. And God is here and be holy. And, you know, that as a divine being on this planet, that I approach my life and myself and my experiences as them all being divine, because I am divine and there is no separation. And I choose not to separate it. And in so doing, and so treating everything and everyone and every experience as a divine thing, I look at and treat those things differently, and I experience them differently. So it might have been weird for some people to be like, because you know, you go to the club Friday night and then Sunday morning you go to church and it's like completely different experiences. But most people don't expect to go to the club and hear a gospel song, let alone a hymn. Now, in the 90s, at one point, there were some clubs that would play like Kirk Franklin and be like, stomp and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you would see that some people would be like, go for it. And other people would be like, they really playing Kirk Franklin in the club? Why not? And so I was like, look, y'all gonna have to indulge me. And people started singing. You know, and it was, again, just a beautiful moment. But also, like, it was almost existential because I'm really up there and I'm not just singing. Because I think that was the other thing about my anxiety. It's like, I know I have a decent voice. But am I a good performer? can I really put on a show? Can I really tell stories with my voice? Can I really get people to feel something? Because it's one thing to be like, oh, that's pleasant. She can sing. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I love and I fell in love with music and singing and performing was because as a 6-7-year-old, watching my mother sing in her band, learning of singers like Anita Baker and Mariah Carey and Yolanda, that at that age, I didn't really understand the words that they were singing, but I still felt something. Mm-hmm. And that was the beauty of how music is a language for everyone, that if you're listening to a song in a language that you don't understand, that it still can and often does communicate to you. Mm-hmm. Because music is universal. Yes, and is. To have that gift and to then be given the gift, because it's like I'm giving people a gift with what I'm doing, but I'm also receiving a gift by doing this thing. And so I'm like, I'm doing it and I'm there, but I'm also kind of like, part of me kind of left my body at that one moment, watching myself and be like, bitch, you really doing this? Like, you really a performance? I had gloves and everything.
Listen, the gloves was.
and actually, you know what? If you're listening to this, you might, if you haven't come to over to the YouTube side, you might want to come over to YouTube. But because I have footage, so I'll give the YouTube people visuals to so you can see, you know, and kind of feel it. But it felt like I had one of the. Like, Kiana is an amazing singer. Mm-hmm. And I didn't let myself get intimidated. Like, how am I going to be the last singer? Like, I could have been the opening singer and then it'd be like, if I'm not that good, they'll forget about me. Everybody else. But to literally plan it to be like, no, I'm going to close the night out. You after all these amazingly talented people that do this as a career. And I don't. I do this for fun because I love it. And I've met, like, I did a feature last year with an acoustic set, but to do with a full band and 3 background singers, who the fuck do I think I am?
Yeah, that it felt like one of those jazz moments where, you know, like a movie where the woman who sings the jazz and she has all this, the band and the people, and she's all bringing them in. I'm like, yo, I forgot, I almost forgot it was you up there. Like, I think I just was just so caught up in the music and the moment and the feeling that was vibrating through the room. And but yeah, even the fact of you going from, you know, the songs that you were singing initially to the hymn, it was seamless. It was like, it didn't seem like it was an interruption, right? It just kind of like, oh, everybody was like, oh, okay, like, and it just went along with it. And that to me really spoke volumes, because like you said, a lot of times you think about secular versus Christianity, right? There's always this, like, it's like church and state, basically. And to be in a place where you knew that there were people who, to be honest with you, different faiths, because we all know that people have different feelings about a lot of different things. But yet we were able to be united and enjoy a night. People came as they were, had fun, looked great.
So good.
Yes. Yes,
everybody was so beautiful and handsome, and just like nobody was slipping.
No, nobody was slipping. No,
they know me. Yeah, like I'm never that person. That and again, the like we're thinking about planning an event, having an event, and it being sensual. Like I set the intention. I communicated that because the visual of the space was important.
Oh yes,
but the visual of the people was also important for me and for everyone else. That to see beautiful people and everyone to feel beautiful. As you know, because it can be shallow, it's not everything, but it is something, and it is important that you step out and you feel good about how you look.
Yes.
And able to show up confidently in that way. And maybe there were moments that people come like, oh, I don't know, is this too tight? Do you see the stomach? And if somebody did feel that, I am truly confident that at some point in that night, it didn't matter. That they stopped thinking about that they're like, oh, I feel good, I look good, everybody. And it was just a reflection of each other. And we were able to see ourselves in the beauty of the other people around us.
Yeah, I told you, party of the year. it was definitely a true representation of you and what you're trying to do and been able to do. And it was also a great way to start the year. Like to start off the year in that fashion. I can only look forward to the rest of 2023. Like, I'm excited about what's going to be happening in 2023. Like it was just like, okay, this is how we're going to start. All right, cool.
You know, because I really, again, with all the things that I've said already, like, I wanted people to come in, you know, let their hair down, you know, come into a like another world almost, like, and an oasis where they could feel free and get and let go of some burdens and feel loved. Like, I knew that people were coming to love on me, but I wanted people to leave that place feeling loved as well. Love for me, love from other people, whether you're seeing people that you haven't seen in a long time or meeting new people. And, you know, like, Kiana came up to me afterwards and she was like, your first event, cuz? Because she's my cousin by way of my nephew. So, like, she's like, cuz, like, your first event, like, this is what you do? Like, you ain't try to do that. You did that. Like, it was sexy. It was grown. And all I could say was, like, it was me.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, I know who I am. And I said, I shared it that night, that, you know, the love of my life would ask me that when I would, like, complain about stuff or, like, be showing some kind of insecurity. And I really would, it would irritate the shit out of me, because he would be like, don't you know who you are? Like, why the fuck are you acting like that, essentially? Like, do you not know who you are? And at the moment when he was saying that, I'm like, yeah, why are you saying that to me? I did it. I didn't know. And what I did know about myself, I wasn't showing it. And that was essentially what he was communicating to me. It's like, okay, well, if you do know yourself, then why aren't you acting like it? Why are you not showing the world who you are? And that night, with every part of that night, down to the outfits that I wore, the progression of the outfits that I wore, the way, you know, because I have a production background, so literally I had a rundown down to the minutes of what each part, and really feeling my way, like, okay, I want to do this here, I want to do that here. And then when it came down to it, being like, oh, you know what, we're not going to do that. And just intuitively, like, yeah, we're gonna skip past that. We're gonna just do this, and feeling okay about that. To be like, yeah, I made that plan, but in this moment, that doesn't feel right. So we're gonna flow in this direction because that's where the flow is going. And if I would have tried to break the flow to be so tied to the plan, then it could have been a moment where it's like, oh, I lost everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And so to be able to be in tune with myself, and I'm able to do that and end the night singing songs I love. And, you know, being like singing, being sexy in my singing, in my performance of it. And, you know, for people to tell me that that's what they got, it's like,
yes. Yeah.
And one of my soul, I want to share this because one of my soul words, I got a lot of mess. Like, most people was like, yo, thank you. Oh my God. It was so amazing. But she texts me the following morning and says, it was such a beautiful event. I felt like a character in a 90s black movie. It was like Love Joan vibes everywhere. My brain was scratched so good. I think I probably cried twice. I love you. Aww. And that, like, summed it up so well. Because I'm like, because I mean, you know, for us old heads, like, the 90s was a special time.
It really is.
It's like an era that, you know, I'm sure there'll be other eras moving forward that'll be like, all right, that was dope. But for us, like, that 90s era, to be 80s babies that grew up in the 90s, have that, and to be like, oh, you like to, into, and to, again, centrally, to have those range of emotions, like, yo, I felt sexy, I cried, like, my brain was stimulated. To think you could go out and get that. And that I was able to be used in that way to curate that those kinds of moment and that, again, experience. It's like, I'm in the right place. I'm doing the right things. I've done some really hard things to start the year. Really, really hard things and courageous things. And so that night, you know, although, yes, I'm celebrating my birthday and my businesses and all these things, if I could sum it up, is I've really had a hard time, like, really finding the words. And this may or may not actually be, you know, sufficient, but it was, if I could sum it up, it was like, that night was a confirmation and affirmation that I am in the right place in my life right now, that I have amazing community. And it's like, and, you know, I think I told you this, or told my brother Harry, like, he's like, yo, you were loved on so well last night. And for the people that love me to be, you know, that's, you know, for it to be important for y'all to see other people loving on me. And my response to him was like, isn't it how amazing it is to know yourself, be yourself, show yourself, and to do those things, which are three components of being authentic. And at the convergence of those three things, I'm allowing myself, I'm allowing people to love on me. And in that moment, in that place of vulnerability, that I met with love, and that people get to reflect and give me back the love that not only am I giving to myself, but that I'm giving out as well. And it to be that beautiful exchange, mm-hmm. a very intimate connection that ultimately, which is why like I know that night was very impactful for people in their own way, because ultimately, isn't that what we all want? Isn't that the point of it all?
Mm-hmm.
That if everyone left that place a little bit lighter, feeling loved and feeling love and feeling loved, that is the sensual experience. If people went home and had some amazing sex, hell yes.
Well, they definitely had the environment for it.
Listen, I hope that was foreplay for some. I hope that was the setting, the atmosphere. No one has told me that. I mean, they could if they wanted to on a safe place. But, like, I didn't go home and have sex, which is fine. It's not, but it is. But, again, you know, like, that's how it felt. Like, if that was really what was supposed to happen, I would, you know, it would have been a great night. But we came home. My sister here from Chicago. We came back to my house and ate pizza and wings and talked till 5:30 in the morning. And it was everything. It was love. Like, it was love. And that's ultimately what I wanted, what I needed, because I've struggled with feeling part of something, part of people, feeling having a tribe and community. And I've had it in like different pockets and meaningful, but like smaller ways. But to be there and for all of these people to converge in one place for me and what God has given me and what I'm pouring out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And to be, again, affirmed in that way, it's like, you got, everybody's like, yo, you got something here. Like, when's the next event? I'm like, yo, like, can I finish processing this one?
Listen, I'm already there. Like, I'm already there. So, there's nothing else I can say. You know, drop the mic.
So, yeah, if you're in Baltimore or not in Baltimore, because I had people from L.A., shout out to my homegirl Ashley from BET, baby. She came all the way from L.A. Yes, for me. Yes. Like, love. My one of my best friends, Tondra, came from Georgia. You came from Jersey. Over the map. My sister from Chicago. Like, people came from far and wide to come. So next time I have an event, don't miss it. Come through. I don't know what it's going to be. Everybody's like, well, you can do this. I was like, look, it'll come to me. I will feel it. It'll feel right. Like, this is literally the way that I've lived my life and implementing sensuality as a spiritual practice, as a way of living, as a way of healing, as a way of reconstructing. This is it for me. And if that's it for you, if this is something that even remotely sounds interesting and exciting, by all means, tap in. The information is in the show notes, how to reach me, how to connect with Radiant Sessions, how to learn, join the group. I'm always dropping gems in the private group. Sign up for the newsletter. You know, go back and listen to the other podcasts if this is your first one. Mm-hmm. And on that note, we will see you next week
for another
episode of Sex and Sensuality for the Churchy. And as always, be as radiant as the sun. Bye.
Bye-bye.